Welcome to a special bonus episode of the Encourage podcast, featuring Becky Keefe, Encourage Community Manager and author of The Simple Difference. Join Becky and her special guests on these bonus episodes for conversations about how every small kindness makes a big impact. Hi, Eliza. Welcome to the Encourage podcast.
Hi, Becky.
I'm so happy to be having this conversation with you today.
Oh, I'm so excited to be here. I'm so excited to chat with you.
I know this, like, you are one of like my favorite people ever. And we're going to talk about some kind of hard, awkward, uncomfortable stories. But I think that what better to do that with than friends who know our hearts and cheer us on and point us to Jesus. And that is who you are in my life. And I'm so grateful.
Oh, thank you. I feel the same way about you. I wish we were in a house together right now, but this is, you know what, just as good.
Almost as good. It's impossible for us to be in the same house as each other right now, because I live in Southern California and you do not.
I don't. I live in Southern Canada, Southern Ontario. Yeah, I know. But someday we're going to hang out in person soon.
Eventually, we are. Yes. Jesus, make a way.
Exactly. So
friends, if you don't know, Eliza is one of our Encourage contributors. You are also an artist, an aunt, a kids pastor at your church. Mm-hmm. What's a random fact that you want to share with our friends today?
I would eat mashed potatoes every meal of my life for the rest of my life. If I could. Yes. Once I went, do you guys have Swiss Chalet, or is that a Canadian place? I think it's a Canadian place.
Yeah, no, I've never heard of that.
It's like chicken. Anyway, I didn't want chicken that day. And I went to Swiss Chalet and I got mashed potatoes with a side of pierogies and a baked potato and French fries. I waddled out of there. I was so full of potatoes.
French fries, mashed potatoes, and a baked potato?
And pierogies.
And what,
I think it's potato. What's a pierogi? Pierogi?
Yeah.
It's like a deep fried thing with potato inside of it. It's so good. Anyway, that's my fact. I felt really sick.
But in a non-sickening way, you would be delighted to eat.
I'd do it again and again. Yeah, exactly.
To eat mashed potatoes every day with gravy?
Sure. I'd love it. Anyway, I love it so much.
Oh my goodness. That is so funny. I would eat ice cream every day if my 39-year-old body would act like my 17-year-old body used to.
So good.
Well, today, you know, okay, so you know, we've been talking about this for a long, long time, that living with intentional kindness has been something that's been on my heart and mind for quite a while now, specifically as I've been working on The Simple Difference, which is now out into the world. And what it looks like, what it means to live the big impact of small kindness. And, you know, often when we talk about kindness, about making a difference, like, I love feel good stories. Like, I love finding like those nuggets that, you know, just point to hope and joy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when like that small act of kindness just like makes someone's day and makes the giver feel good and all of that. And that's often how it goes. But I think kindness and loving the people in front of us, it can also be awkward. And sometimes it does not go the way we planned. Have you experienced that?
How did you know? I have experienced that. When I was in London, England, oh my goodness, like 3 years ago now. Time goes fast. This last year has been a weird standstill. I can't really keep track of time.
like a time warp. Like, I don't know if things happened like 6 weeks ago or 6 months or like a year and a half. Yeah,
I know. Totally. So a few years ago, I was in London, England. I was just finishing up my college internship and I was, you know, able to intern in London. So I jumped at that chance. It was so cool.
That's so awesome.
It was so awesome. And yeah, God just met me in a million ways on that trip. One of the things that I was kind of struggling with was finances, because I was a very broke college student that had to pay to go to England to work unpaid. So, you know, you're just really paying a lot did not pay. But the opportunity was so good that I said yes. So I was very stingy with my finances when I was there. You know, you just eat stuff that college kids eat, right? You just start, right. Whatever. So I wasn't paying a lot of money. So anyway, so I remember I had to take what they call the tube. Maybe if we have any British listeners, I think that's correct. Hopefully I haven't messed that up. It's not a subway. It's the tube.
I've heard that before. I've never been, but yes, that sounds right.
The tube. We're going to go with that. So you have to take the tube anyway. So I would always have to walk to the tube to get to my internship. And I passed the same woman every single day when I walked to the tube, but I didn't really pay any attention because I was there for a purpose. Like I was there to do my internship. That was why I was there. But one day I remember when I was coming home, I passed this woman and I really felt like God wanted me to talk to her. I think sometimes, I don't know for you, Becky, how you feel like you listen to the Holy Spirit, but sometimes for me, it's like this urging. Like I just feel like this urgency mm-hmm. inside of my spirit. And I'm like, oh, God wants me, like there's something here. And
yes,
I can choose to obey or I can choose to walk away. And so I was, you know, really wanting to listen to God. And so I walked up to her and she said to me that she was hungry and that she wanted something to eat. And so I felt honestly in my own voice, but I felt really clearly like Jesus said to me, go buy her a sandwich. And we were right outside of a grocery store. So I'm like, okay. So we walk inside to this grocery store. But she like took out a buggy, a basket. And she started to fill, I have this very clear memory of her filling her basket with like cheese and ham and bread and all of this stuff. And I was like, oh, I thought I was only going to buy her a sandwich. And I followed her around the store. But honestly, and I'm kind of ashamed to admit it, I was very frustrated. I felt like I had this dialogue happening in my head with Jesus. I was saying to him, I can't afford this. Like, you know, I don't have money. Like, I can't even really pay the rest of my rent this month. Like, I don't have money for this. I have been pinching pennies to try and make this internship last. Like, I don't have a job when I'm getting home. I can't afford this. But I knew I had to obey God. And he had told me to buy her a sandwich. But I wasn't happy about it. So
you're like, that's a really big sandwich. Like that's like 12.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. But I was, you know, Canadian and polite about it. So I was smiling at her and internally I'm like so annoyed and it was horrible. It was horrible what was happening inside of me. And I, anyway, so we get to the checkout. I can't remember what she bought, but she was so kind to me. I remember her being really kind and really, really grateful and so gracious. And so she bought this stuff, groceries. And then I didn't see her again. I just walked out, said, you know, I hope you're okay or something like that. And then I left. But I was really upset when I was walking back to my flat, as they say in London. And I just was saying to Jesus, like, this isn't, you know, this isn't what I agreed to. Like when I said I was going to obey you, like I had a specific idea of what I was going to do. And this wasn't really part of the plan.
Yeah.
And honestly, Becky, like immediately I just felt the Spirit of God say like, Eliza, like, I'm going to take care of you. When have I ever not taken care of you? And when I got home, to this flat, I went and I checked my email and I had just received a scholarship for the amount of money that I needed to finish paying my rent to get home. Like Becky,
wow.
It was so crazy because honestly, if we're looking at, did Eliza deserve that? I'm going to go with a big fat no. Like I definitely did not like. My attitude did not deserve God taking care of me, but I think that's grace. Like I never deserve God to take care of me. I never deserve the kindness of God. And yet his kindness was so clear to me and it wasn't a trade-off. Like it wasn't like, if you're kind to this person, I'll be kind to you. He just was so gracious to me, even in my stubborn selfishness.
Even in your wrestling, he was still like, I'm going to take care of you because you are my daughter.
Yes, yes, yes. And I felt like he gave me a chance in a little way to help take care of somebody else. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I just feel like God does that. Like he, I don't know. It was beautiful and really hard all at the same time.
Yeah. Well, I think that word you said, like you didn't deserve it. Mm. And I think that that's like where I can trip up sometimes is feeling like, well, either I deserve the kindness of God, which clearly I don't. Like scripture is clear. While you were still sinners, Christ died for you. Like that is the undeserved love and kindness and grace and mercy of God. And in the same way, I know that I'm prone to judge who does and does not deserve my kindness.
Yes.
But that like deserving kindness, like let's just call that out as an oxymoron. Like that, it's not a thing. Like undeserved kindness, all kindness is undeserved. Yeah. Every kindness that we've received and every kindness that we have the opportunity to give, deserving our own judgment of is this deserved shouldn't be even in the equation.
Yes. Yes. Something I like to think about is if I can receive God's kindness and God's grace with open hands, then I don't need to clench my hands and keep that. I can actually give that away because there is enough of God's kindness for me. So that means I can keep my hands open and give the kindness God has given me to others because there is no one deserves it. So why do I need to hold, why do I need to think that if I am kind to somebody that like almost stops, you know what I mean? I think I just trick myself into thinking this mindset of scarcity. Like I need to hold on to this really tightly.
Right.
God is like, you can just keep giving away kindness and it's like an ever flowing thing.
Right. And I can think of times in my life where I have very clearly received kindness that was not deserved. What it does is I think it shines a spotlight on God's character. So this is really embarrassing, but, one time this was several years ago, but I was late to church. My kids were driving me crazy. I was like, get in the minivan, stop poking your brother, find your shoes. My husband was out of town. I don't know why I thought it was a good idea like to go to the 8 a.m. service. Like that was my first mistake.
Oh, that's early.
I know. So I'm, you know, rushing to church. It's not that far away. I go to this like really small neighborhood church and we don't have a big parking lot. So it's just like finding parking on these side streets. And I hate parallel parking. Like I'm not good at it. I hate it. And so I was like, we're going to have to park far away. I'm going to parallel park. And then I spy a spot like near the front of the church. I'm like, sweet. And so I whip in the spot, nose first, cut it a little close. Oh, crunch. No. I hit the car next to me.
Oh no.
And the boys are like, oh, Mom, what's that sound? Did you crash? And I'm like, yes, I did. I felt so stupid. I immediately felt so guilty. I was hot and sweating. Mm. I wasn't concerned about my car. Like I drove a very well-loved minivan, like that we got used. It was not a nice car. Nice for us. But, and of course the car that I hit was a shiny red SUV, brand new. And so I just remember getting out of the car and I'm like, boys, stay here and like surveying the damage. And there was like a scratch dent you could not ignore on that bumper. And anyhow, I just felt so just a blanket, like a lead blanket of shame, I was like, I should have avoided that. Like, how could I have done that? It's going to cost a lot of money. Mm-hmm. I like, searching in my purse for a pen and a paper, like to write a note. I couldn't find one. All I could find was like a Walmart shopping list and a green crayon. So like on top of the list, I'm like, I'm so sorry. I bumped into your car. Like, please forgive me. Like, please call me so I can, you know, fix the damage or whatever. And I put it in the windshield and we go into church and I keep my sunglasses on because I just can't hide the tears. I just feel so stupid. Mm. Anyhow, fast forward several days. I'm waiting on pins and needles for my phone to ring.
Yes.
And it never does. And I'm like, did it blow away? Did someone see and think I'm a total jerk? Like what happened? And then probably more than a week goes by and my phone rings and kind of without thinking, I pick it up. And it's this woman and she says, hi, this is so-and-so from Cornerstone Bible Church. And I'm so sorry it took me so long to call you. And I like, it didn't click right away who this was. And she said, but I was just calling to thank you so much for the kind note you left on my car. And I was like, oh, thank you for calling. I'm so very sorry. And she goes, not at all, dear. I just wanted to, that was so sweet of you to leave me that note. And I just wanted to call and tell you, thank you. And I was like, you're welcome. Can we, okay, let's talk about the damage. And she goes, oh, I couldn't barely even see anything. It's not a problem at all. I just want you to have a very good day and say that your note meant so much to me.
Oh my goodness.
Now I'm crying different kinds of tears.
Oh, Becky.
And as this like wave of relief washes over me, I can't, maybe she was wealthy. Maybe she just was super generous. Maybe she remembers what it was like to be a frazzled mom rushing to church. But I have a hunch that actually she has experienced the undeserved kindness and grace from God in her life. And so like you were saying, it was an overflow that she could, without hesitation, pass that on. So undeserved.
Wow. Oh, that's beautiful.
So that undeserved.
So cool. I'm just thinking through, like, I don't think that would have been my reaction if I had been the person who had been, like, I would have been so ticked.
Right? Like,
yes.
Exactly. Oh. And so it has been such, like, when things happen, when someone drops the ball or misses the mark or says something, you know, in the heat of the moment, or, you know, is careless with their words, or, you know, my pet peeve is like people being late, even though I tend to be late, but like, I feel like you're not respecting my time. Like, you know, all those little things. And I just think about like, it's so easy for us to fill in the gaps with judgment.
Yes.
With our own, like, do you deserve for me to forgive you or be kind to you or overlook that thing that you did that I didn't like, but I don't want to be someone who fills in the gaps with judgment. I want to be someone who fills in the gaps with grace and kindness. Hi, I'm Becky Keefe, Encourage Community Manager and author of The Simple Difference. I am so excited that The Simple Difference is now available on dayspring.com and wherever books are sold. So grab your copy today and start making an impact right where you are with exactly what you have, one small, intentional act of kindness at a time. I promise your life and the world will never be the same. Grab your copy and find out more at bethesimpledifference.com.
I just feel like I'm being re-reminded. And this is something that I think if you followed Jesus for a long time, at least for me, I sometimes just forget that I, like, it was, you know, you become a Christian because you know that, yeah, I have messed up. I have sinned. God's grace covers me. Jesus showed me unbelievable love when he died for me. But then I've been a Christian for 17 years and it's kind of like, that's old news a little bit. And I am focusing on all the other things that I want to do for the kingdom of God. And I feel like this conversation is just like a re-reminder to me that, wow, every single day I wake up and Jesus bears my burdens of sin and he offers me grace. You know, like it is just, it never gets old, Becky. And so I'm so grateful for The Simple Difference. I'm grateful for this time together. I'm grateful for these stories, because I think when we share stories of people who have been kind to us, it just reminds me of ultimately, like, the kindness of God and all the undeserved grace he gives me every single day.
Yeah, I'm with you. Like, I've known Jesus for 34 years. Like, that's a long time. And I'm embarrassed to say it. Like, I can start taking God's love and kindness for granted. Like,
totally.
Of course. Totally. Of course you love me, God. Like, I don't have a problem with knowing that God loves me. But one, I think that I need to kind of have like a reset of reverence for who God is and the fact that like, I don't deserve it. I didn't deserve it when I was a 5-year-old little girl, you know, accepting my heart. I didn't deserve it when I was, you know, a teenager making, you know, poor choices. I didn't deserve it when I was, you know, an angry mom who yelled at my kids, or all the times in between. But I think also, not only do I need to recognize that, like, I am a sinner who God loves, but guess what? That's how he sees every other person, that he loves every other person that we meet at work, on a city street, you know, behind us at church, you know, everywhere that we go, that we travel in our neighborhoods, that those people, everyone we encounter is someone who is lavishly, undeservedly loved by God. And how would it change the way we treat one another if we saw people through those kinds of eyes?
I remember a few months ago, I was praying and asking God to help me love some people in my life that I was finding a little tricky to love. Mm-hmm. And I felt like Jesus gave me this picture in my head of me as a 7-year-old girl. And I felt like Jesus said, like, imagine that they're seven. You can love a 7-year-old. And I can love a 7-year-old. I see that 7-year-old and I'm like, you have so much potential. You are going to do big things. And I felt like Jesus said, like, picture all those people that are hard to love as a 7-year-old kid. And so honestly, that's like an exercise that I've taken with me. And so now when I'm struggling with someone, even like my family member, like even like, you know, somebody who I really do love, I picture them as a kid. And I'm like, you know what? We're all just kind of like little kids that are struggling and really wanting to be loved. Really? Like, honestly, I think that's deep inside. I really just want to be loved by people. And so if I can picture them as that little kid, I'm like, yeah, Jesus, I can love them a little easier. And then the Spirit of God just helps me a little bit more.
Yes. I love that. I've never thought of it in that way, but I think that's like such a simple, practical thing. And, you know, that reminds me of something that I have thought about. I have thought about how, you know, when over and over in scripture, Jesus is very clear, like, love one another as I have loved you. So we must love one another. You know, that's like the drumbeat, right, of his, of his heart for how we ought to live. And it has really, I've understood it in a new way since becoming a parent myself, because when someone loves my kids, like, it's the best thing. Like when I, whether it's a teacher or a coach or just one of my, you know, friends, and when someone loves my kids, I'm like, it fills my heart with so much joy and gratitude. Or even like when I see my kids loving one another well, I'm like, yes, that's like, they can, I mean, they do love each other, but they are also, you know, 9, 11, and 12, and they're brothers, and they can pick on each other and bicker and, you know, all the things. And yet when they are kind and tender and compassionate, I'm like, that's who you were made to be.
Yeah.
And so in the same way, it makes sense that it would bless God's heart when we are kind to his kids, when we love his kids, whom he loves more than we can imagine.
I love that.
Let's just be real. We don't always do that well.
No, I do that about 30% of the time.
Right. Always do that well. And recently I tried to do it well, and I was a big fat failure. Do you want to hear the story?
I always want to hear your failure stories. Not so I feel better, but a little bit, a little bit.
Right. We are here for the ministry of, if you feel awkward and messy and selfish,
like, to us talk,
you're not alone. But here's the spoiler alert. Like, God is so patient.
Yes.
And kind.
Yes.
And I feel like he is to me, like that 7-year-old, like, oh, Becky, you have so much potential. Like, you've got a lot of growing to do.
But I love you. I love you so much.
But I love you so much. So I'm going to stick with you, even though you are really immature sometimes. So, you know, this idea of living eyes wide open to the people in front of us and being available to the Holy Spirit, like, it's been on my heart a lot. And so this was just a few weeks ago. I was heading into the grocery store to pick up some, you know, things for my family. And I just had a little bit of time, like right before school pickup. And often there are people who hang out like near the entrances of my neighborhood grocery store, who appear to be without homes. And so it's something that, you know, at different times as a family, we've, you know, started conversations or, you know, made sandwiches or done different things. And I don't always engage, but on this particular day, as I was headed heading in, I felt like similar to what you were saying, like a very specific, like Holy Spirit, like compelling me to buy a man I saw a meal. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, well, if I can just do it really quick, but also like you, like I've walked with God enough to know, I mean, there've been plenty of times I have ignored that Holy Spirit nudge, but I don't want to, like, I want to be available. I want to live surrendered. And so that was like my posture in this, knowing like, I don't know his whole story. I can't, I'm not here to save anyone, but Jesus is also clear. Like, we can be his hands and feet by giving a cold drink, by, you know, by showing up when and how we can. So that's just what I did. I got some cold water and some chips and a sandwich and did my shopping and I loaded my stuff in my car really quick. And then I walk over to this gentleman. And as I got closer, I had seen that he was sitting, you know, next to a shopping cart. And as I got closer, I honestly, I saw that his shopping cart was only full of empty beer cans. And he had a beer can in his hand and one next to him. And I kind of crouched down so he could see me. And I set a bag in front of him. I said, hi, sir, you know, how are you doing today? I thought maybe you could use a meal. And I put it in front of him. And I mean, this feels awkward to say, but the truth was, is that he was so intoxicated, like he could barely look up. Like there wasn't the kind of interaction I was hoping for. I was hoping maybe I could even, you know, hear his name and have a, have a bit of a conversation and hear his story. And that didn't happen. And so I was kind of like, well, here you go. And, and I got back into my car and it's gross to admit, but the thought that entered my mind was that was a waste. Why him, God? Like he didn't even probably remember it. I don't, based upon how he looked, he may not have even be able to eat what I had given him. And it, as I asked that, like, why him? Like when there's lots of people who are in need, right? Like, so that was my thought of like, couldn't I have given to someone who could have really benefited it from that day?
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what the Lord said in my spirit very clearly, especially him, especially him, Becky. And it just was this like gut check of just, again, realizing my own sin, my own judgmentalness, and the fact that it didn't matter. Like it didn't matter like what my perceived outcome of my act of kindness was, because it's not about me.
Like
the last chapter of The Simple Difference, I should know this by now, but apparently I'm a slow learner, but the last chapter is called It's Not About Us. Like that's literally like what it's called, because it's not about us. It's not about how I feel. It wasn't about like a do good accolade or a shiny gold star for myself. Like I hope that blessed that man, but even if not, like we have opportunities to be obedient to what God asks us to do.
Yeah.
And I think for me, the Lord was like, Becky, like, are you willing to see people the way I see them? Like, he's my son. I love him. I delight in him. I am broken over his life. Like what if you were to, especially him, like love, especially him. And, I don't know. I wanted to have this conversation with you and share these stories because I don't know. It can be awkward to do these acts of kindness. It can be awkward to be like, well, is it about us? Like, is this about like, you know, racking up a bunch of like good deeds so that we feel good about ourselves? No, like it all points back to the love and kindness of God. And I'm so messy. I'm so in process, but I think that the kindness of God is also saying like, yet still like, come, like know my kindness deeper. And I'm inviting you to partner with me, even when you mess up, even when your heart isn't quite right. Like I'm still working in your life too.
Yes. Yeah. Oh man, that's going to stay with me for a long time, especially him. And I think that as we, you know, continue to go out into our world, that you and I have talked about this, it can feel a little divided out there. It can feel a little divided within my own heart sometimes. Like mm-hmm. there, and I think that there are just more and more and more opportunities to show people the kindness of God because of the kindness he continually shows to you and me and to all of our sisters as well. Like we can overflow his kindness because of the kindness that he shows us.
Right. So well said. And so I guess my challenge to mm-hmm. myself, to you, to our friends listening is who in your life, maybe it's today, this mm-hmm. week, like we all have those people that whether it's a stranger we cross paths with or more likely, maybe yes. someone in our home, maybe the
on
person
Facebook.
on Facebook, it's that mom or dad that annoys you at, you know, at soccer practice or at the ballet studio or the woman who wears too much perfume behind you at church. Like whoever you're like,
it's not a real story. You never experienced that. I'm just kidding.
These are all hypothetical things. Yeah, like this absolutely. Is fictional examples. Anyone yes. who we feel when that, let's just be honest with ourselves and with God. Like when we feel that twinge come in of like, well, they don't deserve my respect mm-hmm. or my mm-hmm. kindness mm-hmm. or my grace. What if we allow the Holy Spirit to say, no, especially her, especially him. And to know that whether we agree on anything. Politics, anything, yes. fill in the yes. blank.
Yes. Yes.
Whether yes. someone says, thank you, whether they add 12 more things to their shopping cart,
yes.
whether,
yes.
you know, all the things, like what if we understood that the way God feels about each person is mm. especially them I want to show my love and kindness to today.
Mm. Yes. It's hard, but
it's worth it. And God, I mean, that's really the core of who he is. He says, you know, in Exodus, when he told his name to Moses, you know, Yahweh, the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness.
Yes.
Abounding yes. in loving kindness. And I want to be someone who lives eyes wide open to that in my own life and is ready to be a conduit of that for others. And let's do it. Yes. Let's do it. Let's be simple yes. difference makers of God's loving kindness.
Yes, I am. I am right there with you. Stumbling my way through, but I am there with
stumbling
you.
My way through that. So all of you friends, you stumblers and second guessers and doubters, like that's who God welcomes. He welcomes our selfish hearts, and he is so good and kind and faithful to keep. I feel like, you know, that image of like smoothing out those rough edges, and his yes. hands just keep rubbing my rough edges and saying yeah. like, You're gonna bump up some people and they're gonna scrape you and you're gonna scrape them yeah. or maybe you're gonna yeah. hit your car. But either way, like I'm gonna keep smoothing out those edges. Just keep coming back and trusting me and we will walk together.
Oh yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it.
Thanks for joining us for this bonus episode. Episodes of the Encourage podcast are brought to you by Dayspring, makers of your favorite cards, books, and gifts. If you like today's special episode, you'll love Becky's book, The Simple Difference, and our latest Bible study, Courageous Kindness. Find both at dayspring.com.